One way to describe it in biblical terms, it means set apart or almost like one of a kind. Mm-hmm. So if God is holy, he is set apart from everything else. He's one of a kind in perfection.
Welcome everyone to podcast number 175, Renew Your Mind. We come to you today from the Gaylord Methodist Church, mm-hmm. and we are now a global Methodist church at the beginning of 2024. With us today, we have Senior Pastor Paul Gruenberg, and we have Associate Pastor Jeremy Tarrou. We have retired Pastor Barry Sweet, and we have our Youth and Family and Praise Director, Jordan Kettlewall, and myself, Dana Hall, as the moderator. And for this series, we are going to get into the topic of holiness. So I will start off with the question, what exactly is holiness?
I guess the first question really is God holy, and what does that mean to God to be holy? Because if God is identified as holy, I mean, in our liturgy for communion, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Mm-hmm. And the angels are crying that out to God. So that's a characteristic of God, holiness. And I think we need to figure out what that means.
Is God the only one that is holy?
I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
At some level, I mean, God is the author of holiness. That's his character. And as I was thinking about this, I thought in terms of Adam and Eve, and for a time, they were completely holy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we think of Adam and Eve's life, if we were just to go back to the beginning and say, when we look at the short couple of chapters on Adam and Eve before the fall, well, actually just really one, I mean, when I think of what Adam was called to do, and then what Adam and Eve were called to do together, you know, he named all the animals. They were righteous. They were perfect. They were holy. They were complete. They were mature. Mature. That's another question.
Yeah.
Because when they were tempted then by Satan or the serpent, one and the same, they weren't complete. They weren't mature enough to say no. Mm-hmm.
Can you define righteousness as well, so we have that in our heads as we go forward?
Don't everybody jump at once. Okay,
so
but I think we're, you know, you brought something up, Pastor Paul, that I think kind of starts to chip at that definition, because that holiness and righteousness is, it feels like it should be an easy thing to define, but
it's not.
If you ask someone. Mm-hmm. It's then, you know, you get the same response that you just got, just a little bit of awkward silence. But so they were perfectly holy in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But then you mentioned also that they were not mature, that when they were tempted, they fell. So we can identify that holiness doesn't necessarily mean impervious to temptation.
Absolutely.
On a human scale. Mm-hmm.
It does not mean you can't be tempted.
Right.
I think that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so, God can't be tempted.
Well, that's why I put the caveat in there.
But people can't.
Right.
Yeah. Right. On the human scope, as far as, you know, discussing holiness and trying to identify, define it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can know that even at a state of perfect holiness as a human, you're still not impervious. You're still not,
I think that's right,
indestructible.
Right.
You know, with your spirit, mm-hmm. with your soul.
Not until we meet our Maker.
Yeah. Right. And then in that case, there will be nothing to tempt us. There will be no evil.
Right. So we could go there.
Yeah.
I don't think we defined holiness.
No, I just defined one thing that it's not.
That's often the easier way to define it.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
One way to describe it in biblical terms, it means set apart,
mm-hmm.
or almost like one of a kind. Mm-hmm. So if God is holy, he is set apart from everything else. He's one of a kind in perfection. And that's one way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe that's, perfect is another.
Yeah. Perfect in such a way that nothing else is like that.
Well, certainly in a way we'll never understand,
mm-hmm.
at least on this side of things.
Well, I know that God is infinite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk holy, holy is the character of God.
Right.
But God is infinite. I mean, when we talk, we were talking off script. Jordan was talking about his love of astrophysics.
Astrophysics, yeah.
And we were talking about how, you know, he has probably some terms that we don't know. I mean, just having studied mm-hmm. it, and we'll talk math and stuff. Maybe not the strong part of your understanding.
Oh, I didn't say anything about math.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like outer space.
But the idea, the idea like being that when someone talks about quantum physics, that's just way beyond most mere mortals. And God is so far beyond that, you know, as far as infinite. So when we talk about the character of God being holy, it's perfect, but God is infinite. I think it's hard to wrap yourself around the complete character of God as far as being holy. But I like what Jeremy is saying is being set apart mm-hmm. because God uses that term for the chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
I am setting you apart. You are my, I don't know if he says my holy people, but he sets us apart to be, let's see, he sets us apart so that he is our God and there are no other gods. I mean, when you look at the Ten Commandments, that's the fence around what it means maybe to be holy. The commands, the commandments, those kinds of things kind of set a perimeter around what holiness is. If we were to obey perfectly the law, we would reflect holiness.
I wonder if being holy isn't always good, is another way to define it. Always good.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
It's a limited definition.
Yeah.
But
I think that even touches on Dana's other question about righteousness.
Yeah.
It's always good. Always in line with God's perfect standard. Oh, right in God's eyes. Right with God. Those are ways to mm-hmm. kind of get at
doing
righteousness.
Things, if you're doing it from an action perspective, doing things God's way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could not our way.
Could you even say obedient when sure. you say right mm-hmm. with God? Obedient?
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Which would go and lead into faithfulness?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus even says love is defined as being obedient to God's commands. So you have to have a standard. And the commands and the commandments are the standard
mm-hmm.
to obtaining or reaching holiness. If you're not following those commands, so we talk in terms of Christianity, and if we were to talk, dangerous as it is, to talk about levels of commitment to Christianity, maybe that's the best way to put it. There are people who know who Jesus is, or may even believe that Jesus died on the cross, but they don't live by the commandments that Jesus has laid out or by his lifestyle. We don't use that as an example for our own lifestyle. And so when we do that, it's just a really interesting kind of case study. What makes somebody holy if it's following commands or if it's faith in Jesus? What do we define? What do we define the standards of holiness to be? What do we have to do apart from what God already does for us? God gives us grace that we might come into relationship with him. What does God give us so that we might be more holy? Because on our own, we can't do it.
So that goes back to, that actually spins us right back to the same original question. Like we know that God is perfect and righteous and holy. Mm-hmm. And only God can be perfect and righteous and holy. But we, however, are also commanded to be holy and to strive for holiness,
mm-hmm.
even right. knowing that we can't be God, right? We can't be in perfection. We can't be in sinless perfection as God is, and only God is holy, but we're still commanded to be holy. So as far as human holiness on this earth, what is it? Can we define it? What is that? What does it mean? What does it look like?
Is that practical holiness, which we wanted to talk about at our next podcast? Or Barry, you had another
positional?
Is it positional? What's positional holiness?
Well, that's where God puts us in the place of holiness by his holiness coming upon us, by us receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit coming to live in our heart, guiding our life. A holy God can't reside in an unholy place, and he makes us holy. Mm-hmm. We don't make us holy.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But and that's the set
that's
apart.
Positional holy.
Yeah.
Yes, when you've been received salvation through Jesus, you belong to God now in his kingdom and family and not to the world. So
and
you've been set apart.
He has cleansed us. He has made us right with him. And, you know, I think that that's where the journey of holiness begins. Right. It isn't all done and taken care of and finished at that point. I think we're just beginning the journey.
Yeah.
So you can't, having said that then, just to be a defined statement, holiness cannot be a part of your life apart from God.
Amen.
Absolutely not.
So when we think of holy, a lot of people would say, I'm a good person apart from God, right? So we can't use being a good person as a definition for holiness. Mm-hmm. Our holiness imparted by God, our holiness, this is the... When we talk about righteousness, we talk about God judging us, and when we are clothed in Christ, we are perfected, we are made holy if we're clothed in Christ. And so holiness cannot be a part of our lives unless we are in Christ, unless we have received Jesus as our Savior. He's Lord and Master of our life. So just to clarify, there are a lot of good people in the world that don't know Jesus, that haven't received Jesus as their Savior, and those people cannot be holy.
Correct.
Is
Correct.
That what we're saying?
Yes.
So if they can't be holy, the first thing we must be in order to be holy is to be saved.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Totally agree with that.
So without salvation, which is... by the grace of God.
Not something we do.
Not something we do, something that's been done for us. Can we be holy?
Without salvation.
Wait, say that again?
Without the grace of God, without salvation, we cannot be holy.
Correct.
Okay, so we've identified then at least one portion, right? So we've got, for holiness, we at least, even if we're not defining, we at least know we need salvation through Christ. Mm-hmm. So we're getting somewhere there.
So in the Old Testament, I'm going to throw this in there.
That's where I was going. So
go ahead.
No, fire away. You know better than I do.
No, I don't know. So in the Old Testament, then Jesus wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. But he was.
That's a whole nother.
The walking incarnate.
The walking Jesus incarnate,
Messiah,
right.
Had not come yet, right?
So the.
That's a whole other podcast.
It's a whole other podcast.
So let me put it this way. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross.
There we go.
To provide a means to come to God the Father wasn't available. So how was holiness obtained, or was it even something to be obtained in the Old Testament?
Yeah. Well, sure. Old Testament saints, we will call them, use Abraham as an example, were justified or counted righteous or forgiven in the same way that we are by grace through faith. Faith in God's promises, the promises that were given them at the time.
Right.
And I think a looking forward to God sending a Messiah at some point, as he promised that he would, and believing those promises and acknowledging, yes, I need that, Lord, and I believe that you'll do that.
I need you.
So, the grace through faith, when we read in the New Testament, especially Book of Galatians, talks all about how Abraham's the foundational person.
Who really
demonstrated that first. Mm-hmm. And when we have faith in Christ, we're the seed of Abraham by faith. So it's a great question, though.
It is. So with faith has always been the means to come to God the Father.
Right.
And I separate that. Because in the Old Testament, God, it's generally God. And Jesus is first mentioned as the seed that would crush Satan's seed's head. So in that, then Noah was the only one found
faithful
or righteous mm-hmm. in God's sight and was therefore saved from the flood. Mm-hmm. So if Noah had faith or belief in God and was the only one, and if you read that, it says, and the intent of everyone else was always evil or wicked all the time. Right. And I just, you know, you think of, I don't know what you think of when you read that, and here's Noah and his family, they're righteous, I would almost say toward holiness, right? But the other people weren't, and so they were, God started over again.
But faith is the key word.
Faith right. is the yes. key word, or belief.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Old Testament then, getting back to that, faith has always been the key to getting to a point where you can become holy. And then God provides the law as the standard for being holy as God is holy. Be holy right. as I am holy. I think Leviticus.
Yep, that's where I was going, actually. It was Leviticus. We're probably thinking of the same one, and I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head because I'm terrible with that. But, you know, throughout the Old Testament, in several places, it describes being holy. And that's where I was going with the second portion of that definition. What I was thinking was, so we've got the faith and salvation aspect that we can only achieve through Christ and the gift of grace.
Christ today, but
right
faith
for us today.
In the Old Testament.
But in the Old Testament, it describes holiness a number of times and commands us to be holy and then goes into behaviors.
Right.
So in holiness, as we know, is the same through salvation, we've got the gift of grace first,
mm-hmm.
but then also works. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't do good works and get to heaven. But through our faith, we're changed, and good works mm-hmm. come because of the striving to achieve that holiness, if it can ever be.
Well, achieved. We exist not just to please ourselves anymore, but to please God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a change in transformation of our character, which is the process of sanctification and becoming more holy.
Mm-hmm. So the process of our character being changed, our desires changing, will manifest itself outward.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That's right. And God is not really interested in the outward without the inward. And it's not really possible to sustain the outward without the inward. I mean, God says at some point that he's not interested in the emptiness of sacrifices, but in a broken and contrite spirit before him.
Mm-hmm.
He was really focused on what's going on in our heart,
yes.
and not our physical heart,
right.
but our heart representing soul, spirit.
Yeah. So if you go through the motions of yeah. following the law, but you don't have faith and aren't rightly related to yeah. him, he doesn't really care about that.
Jesus yeah. would say that you can't have two masters. You can yeah. only have one. You'll serve one and you'll love one and not the other, or you will hate the one and not the other.
Mm-hmm. But it's so easy to do. You get so caught up, at least I do, in the works, and sometimes you mm-hmm. don't put enough time into the heart.
mm-hmm. But hopefully the heart's focusing you on the work part. That mm-hmm. you know, you may not even know it, but you're doing it because you love God.
Right.
Well, but Dana's got a point, because there are a lot of people, dare I say, there are a lot of people who go to church who are outwardly, they seem holy,
mm,
they
yes.
they do all the right things, they're helpful, they say all the right things, but their heart could be far from God.
Mm. Absolutely.
And so I think Dana's correct. You got to focus on the inward,
yes,
which then manifests in outward ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it's, and this is, I guess, kind of a teaser for a later podcast in this series, but if you have just the works portion of holiness, the behaviors, the obedience to the law, the good works and generosity, but you don't, and your heart's not right, you don't have the spiritual side of it, it's just, I mean, it's a minefield set up for corrupting those good works. Because those good works are done still to serve something,
mm-hmm.
if they're not in your heart done to serve God. They're still done to serve something.
Yeah.
Right.
What that might be, largely is within our own, with our, in our own pride and ego.
That makes me think about the Pharisees in Jesus' time, is that, you know, the law had become so corrupted because, you know, they'd added 47,000 different things to it, and you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. And Jesus says, you've lost the heart of the law.
Yes. Right.
So doing the good works, I think that was a good intention, and probably even the Pharisees thought, I'm doing a good thing here.
Right.
But they've lost, why am I doing the good thing?
Yeah, what is the motive?
Well, they lost the relationship with God. Yeah. So so that is, I mean, that's the prime example. When we look at the New Testament, Jesus comes into the culture at a time when the law had become more than just important as a means of getting to God or a means of being like God. It became God.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, if you didn't stay within a, I think it's a quarter mile of your house, then you have on a Sunday or on the Sabbath, which was a Saturday, then you have broken the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they had gotten to a point where they would take a part of their home, something from their home, set it out there a quarter of a mile, and then traveled a half a mile to whatever their destination was on the Sabbath and said, oh, I'm still within a quarter of a mile. They were trying to work around the original intent, which was to worship God on the Sabbath, rest on the Sabbath. And so all of a sudden, the law became God, not the law helping us to be holy before God.
They obeyed the law and not obeyed God.
Well, and then they begin using the law to their advantage
as well. So it became a power thing.
They were almost making themselves God to a certain point.
Right.
At a certain point.
So then how do we do that today? It's the same thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, human beings haven't changed any.
That's right.
No.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, we have in the church a set of rules or behaviors that we kind of expect from people. And you know, you hear that, don't run in the hall, you're in church type stuff. And people are so concerned about that, but not as concerned about their own relationship with God. And this is where I believe the church sometimes fails, is that we are not connecting people to connecting people with each other to talk about what they're experiencing, the small group experience or you know, I've heard people say to me, you know, we talk about what we hear in church on Sunday afternoon. So people are actively talking about it, which helps to refine themselves and to encourage one another. And in that, we become more inspired. We become, I mean, when I think of the podcast, you know, this is encouraging, right? We're walking in faith together. We're, hopefully
for everybody listening, for us at least, it gets us fired up.
But it's that idea that when we walk together in faith, we're encouraging one another, we're helping each other to grow, and it's not this people coming from different parts of the area to come together in church to put on our masks and to look good and to say the right thing or to say nothing at all, which is making you look good, right?
And unfortunately, that's one of the ways, though, we're not holy in church. And that happens all the time, is we put on our mask and we're not real.
Right.
Right.
Where I think church is the place to be real.
It should be a safe haven.
Yeah, it absolutely should be. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it often isn't.
Dana, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, a lot of times in church, we shouldn't leave our hearts at the door, but we kind of, we probably do. So I, in this setting, the podcast setting, we talk more about, you know, heart stuff, which I think, you know, fires us up. So anyway, I think it's hard to do that sometimes when you're running into church and doing what you're supposed to do. And
And that attempt to try to stick to not even necessarily the rules or the laws, but a norm, a church norm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was obviously there was an era where you, I mean, if you didn't wear a suit to church, you were
heathen.
Oh, yeah. Either back
tax
or,
collector.
Or just get out, right? Because you didn't wear a suit to church. And those norms change. But if, you know, that feeling that it, not abiding by those norms or those social rules somehow makes you appear to be less holy.
Mm, appearance on the outside.
You know, I think that's just such a devastating thing, which is, I try my best. You know, I've got a professional face. Everybody's got a professional face and a personal face.
Absolutely.
And I try my best to blur that line as much. What you see is what you get. Mm. And that way people know. And I feel like that's important, is when you let that mask down. When the mask is up, you don't know. You don't know what's going on. You don't know the person. When you let that mask down and you just be you to everybody, to the person that just came to church for the first time, to the person that's 85 and has been coming to church since they were six, to the pastor, if you just be you, mm-hmm. flaws and all, and you're genuine about your faith, then people know where you're coming from. You know, and that's me. I don't ever claim to be a biblical scholar. I'm not a pastor. I'm not educated in that way. I've never had that kind of education. I tend to be a little bit gruff and tell some off-color jokes from time to time, you know, that maybe wouldn't be considered, I'll throw the air quotes up, churchy, right? Not terrible. They're not mean-spirited, but stuff that, oh, you know, the pearl clutching. I can't believe you said that in church. It happened at our luncheon the other day. We were talking about something and I cracked a joke and it wasn't anything bad. But then I immediately followed it up with, like, I shouldn't speak in public. You know, I just,
but, and you're on a podcast.
But the thing is, like, if you just be you, then also when I tell somebody that my faith is grounded in my salvation in Jesus Christ, that the gift mm-hmm. of grace that was given to me is the most important thing to me. That I can't help but bow down and worship because I am so grateful and so thankful for that grace. They know that's real too.
And when people see that and experience that realness, they're led into a more holy place because it's from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not a mask. It's not fake. God's not fake.
Right.
No.
There isn't anything about God that's fake. And when his people are fake, we're leading them astray.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think we'll wrap up the podcast on that. On that note, so thank you everyone for joining us, and we come to you from the Gaylord Methodist Church, a global Methodist church affiliation, and we'd love to have you join us on Sundays. We have a 9 a.m. traditional service, and we have a 10:45 contemporary praise service. If you can't join us in person, you can view us on Facebook or YouTube, and yeah, if you have any questions, you can refer to our website. Just Google us, and we're located at 215 South Center Street, and our phone number is 989-732-5380. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.